Greetings and welcome to the February 20th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. The meeting is called to order. The first thing we're going to do, my name is Jane Wilsbach, and I am chairwoman of the meeting for at least the first portion of the meeting today. We will have election of officers. We're going to go around and we're going to announce everyone on the board, and then a little bit later we'll tell you more about the new people that are on the board, and we'll say a little bit about some people that have left the board. So if you go ahead and announce yourself, that would be wonderful.
My name is Matt Makowetsky, new board member.
Hello, my name is June Christoph Jones. I'm a new board member.
My name is Noah Smuckler.
Roger Ewing.
Bill Olson.
Welcome, and we'll continue with our policy of having a moment of silence. Okay, the first item on our agenda to take action on is the acceptance of the agenda itself. I would like to request a change to the agenda. Apologize for this at this point, but I would like to go ahead and, if it's acceptable to the rest of the board, exchange the new business and the old business so that we handle the new business first. And the reason I would like to do that is I would like to get to the election of the officers and then let the new chairperson handle the remainder of the meeting. So if that is acceptable, can we do a motion to make that change to the agenda? Or is there any other change that people would like to make?
Sorry, it was me.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, thank you. Do we have any announcements other than introduction of the new board people?
Really quickly, well, we're not going to see it anyway, but the lunar eclipse at 7:30 tonight, it's a major deal. Check it out if you can.
And they're also going to try and shoot down that satellite at 7:30 tonight, so it's a battle between the eclipse and the satellite. We'll see which one wins. I'm going to take a moment and make an announcement. I hadn't planned on doing this, but why not? I've got all the signatures I need. I read an article in the Sun Bulletin by our former mayor, Bill Yates. Most interesting. He's most critical of the city and what we're doing here, so he is encouraging a lot of people to get out and run for council. And on that encouragement, I think I'll do that. I have pulled the papers. I am announcing I am officially a candidate for City Council of Morro Bay. I'm ready to make some changes. And after 8 to 12 years of the status quo, I think we're all ready for changes. And I will do my honest best in a very fair-minded way to do what's right for the city and what's right for all of our citizens, not just a few. So with that, I stand ready to serve if elected, and I would appreciate your vote. So everybody, get out there and vote. Thank you very much.
Are there any other announcements? If not, I would like to make a couple of comments. We have two board members that were with us last time you saw our meeting, and those board members are no longer here. Barry Dorfman was our chairperson and did a wonderful job and was extremely dedicated to what he was doing. He spent a lot of time working on this board. He resigned, he told us, right after the last meeting, so we didn't have a chance to put it on the air or thank him for his service. He told us that he was going to be resigning because he had some elder care issues and he needed to take care of them. Subsequently, he has become ill himself. So this is very unfortunate. He's a wonderful person, a very bright person, and very dedicated, and we really appreciated working for him. So thank you very much, Barry. In addition, Dan Glassman, who did another great job on this board. We had
Morro Bay for over 30 years now. I raised two children who've moved away and gone to college, and I have more time now than I have had in the past. I've wanted to get involved in city issues for a long time, and I wanted to have more of a voice than just a vote. And so this board seemed like a natural place for me. I do have experience with the Integrated Waste Management Authority. I worked with them for over 8 years. I was an educator with them and also a liaison between the small businesses in our community throughout the county and the IWMA and the garbage companies that serve them. And before that, I was an environmental educator for several years and just felt like this board was the place where I could use what I've learned. And I'm happy to be here.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You both seem to be extremely well qualified, and we're really happy to have you join the current board. Written communications. In our packet, we had one written communication, and that was a letter regarding the removal of a tree that was in Del Mar Park. And we really can't add that to the agenda because it's not on the agenda today, but I'd kind of like to bring this on into the agenda and discuss it a little bit at the next meeting, if someone would go ahead and put that on the next agenda, if that's okay with everybody else. You all agreement with that? And then I also was handed something about implementation measures for major vegetation removal, replacement, and protection regarding private property tree removals. That is not part of our packet. We can't discuss it at today's meeting, but I'd like to discuss those two together because I think they kind of fit in together. They're about tree removal. So,
Madam Chair,
yes.
We do have a proposed agenda item for March to discuss urban forestry management, and I think those two items dovetail right into that discussion item.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
May I ask staff a question, please? On this letter that we received, I know we're not allowed to talk about it, but I have a question. What is the policy from staff about public tree removal in the right-of-way, public trees? I know we don't have enforcement, but how can we control losing trees in the public right-of-way that are not necessarily dead or dying?
Public trees in the right-of-way are regulated under Chapter 12.08 of the city's municipal code. Mm-hmm. That was recently modified this last year to actually prohibit any trimming or removing of trees during the nesting season, which is February 1st through June 30th, except for emergency situations. And I note that we did have a couple of emergency trimmings and one removal of a dead pine at Marina and Fresno that was removed after the nesting season.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And we will get much more on that topic at the next meeting.
I also received some written communications before the meeting. It's actually a letter from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. Robert Davis forwarded me an item that is basically their unmet needs that the bike committees put together, which they will be presenting to the City Council next Monday. And I would move that we, after that meeting, Robert Davis has offered to come to a meeting of ours, give us an update on any actions from that council meeting. So I would move that we consider that later on in the business section of our work plan.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
And I will forward this letter on to every board member.
Okay. Are there any more written communications that anyone has received? If not, then we want to go on to the public comment and public presentation portion of our meeting. Is there anyone here that would like to comment? If you could come up and state your name and where you live.
Been a giant here. My name is Jim Nance, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. And I would like to comment on in regards to the sewer rates. I would like to see the PWAB possibly put on their agenda a discussion of sewer rates, because sewer and water rates, because people that are low users of sewers, people using one and two units, are having to pay the same as people using three. And I think it would be good that people that are conserving would be, this would be reflected in their bills. And also, in the trash, I see you got possibly they're going to be speaking on agendizing the trash rates. People that are conservative on their trash rates and their recycling and stuff, I think they should.
Good evening. Tim Olivas, Commander at Morro Bay Police Department, and I first wanted to thank Mr. Smuckler for giving me a call a couple days ago and reminding me I had another opportunity to get the word out to the community regarding the bike race that's coming through our community tomorrow. And this is the Amgen Tour of California. It's a seven-stage bicycle race. This is stage four that will be coming through our community. It is going to involve the closing of the entire southbound lane of Highway 1, State Route 1. And the anticipated time of it entering our community is approximately 2:25. Now, I say approximate because it is bicycles. If it's raining, that'll obviously slow it down. Or if there's crashes or breakaways, all like that with the Peloton, it could be an hour either way is what they're anticipating. So we are helping the California Highway Patrol with the closures of Highway 1 in the community tomorrow. All our volunteers and our bike team will be out there. And I just really wanted to inform, especially the beach track and the Cloisters area, because they're going to kind of be locked in there during that time frame. We can't allow any cross traffic across the highway for approximately, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 45 minutes to an hour. So I just wanted to get that word out to the community. It's anticipated to come in town about 2:25, and the closure could be up to 40 minutes. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you close it right as soon as the first people appear, or do you close it a little ahead of time?
Yeah, we're in full contact with the CHP, and they change it over from Monterey CHP to San Luis CHP in Harmony. So they stay ahead of it, and they give us notification 15 minutes before it comes. So we close it 15 minutes before the first bike rider gets there, because they have a full caravan with the press and the lead cars and the motor units with the CHP ahead of the bike race. So it'll be 15 minutes before the bike race and probably about 15 minutes, depending on how spread it out it is, from the last bike rider.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Okay. Are there any more public comments? Thank you very much. Appreciate it when people show up and take a interest in what we're doing here. Okay, the next item is a director's report, and this is informational, and we ask questions. The director has prepared a spreadsheet telling us what's going on in the Public Works Department, what their activities are, and then we ask questions of the significant items. So starting out, does anyone have any comments or questions on the director's report? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. You can tell it's my first time.
You're doing great, Jane.
No.
We're going to keep you here in the chair. Yes.
I'll put my glasses on and remember that we have to approve of the minutes from December 19th. We did not hold a meeting last month. We didn't have a significant number of items on the agenda. So our last meeting was December 19th, and we're right now going to see if anyone has any changes to that meeting.
I motion approval of the minutes as presented.
Second.
You know, the only thing I saw was the meeting at the very end. The meeting was adjourned at 8:05 p.m. to the next regularly scheduled meeting of, and I think it should be Wednesday, January 16th, because we were at the 19th meeting. Is that right, Kathy? Okay. So I think that's the only thing. And I think this is satellite. It's kind of a typo under old business instead of Seattleite. Not important. Okay.
With the correction, I again motion approval of the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now that I've moved ahead of myself, we'll kind of go back. We'll go to the director's report and see if we have any questions about this report that's been prepared for us.
What are you going to do, Jill?
Well, I'm going to see if anyone has any comments on it. You know, I think that, Janine, since you're here, we should talk at least just for a moment about the bicycle survey and the transit survey so people know that that's coming up and what to expect.
Sure. SLO Regional Rideshare, excuse me, will be conducting a bicycle transit, basically those who are commuting, whether it's to work, to school, or other places, that use their bicycles for part of their journey. Then they get on public transit, put their bicycles on the public transit, take the public transit to wherever they're going. So they're doing a survey between February 18th and March 2nd, and it's designed to identify ways to facilitate the use of bicycles as part of your commute travel with public transit. And that's both locally as well as regionally. So on our Dial-A-Ride vehicles, starting on the 18th, we've had the surveys available for those who are riding our public Dial-A-Ride, as well as the other transit agencies have surveys on their system. In addition, Slow Rideshare has before. So anyone, you don't have to be a current rider of public transit. You could be a bike rider who never even thought about using your your bicycle. So anybody where they're looking for all information, all opinions, if you've had difficulties with trying to use your bicycle with public transit, they're looking for that kind of information as well as what was going on so that they can suggest improvements to the regional system or to local systems to make that transition from the bicycle to the public transit more smooth and easier to do in the future.
Great. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Bill about the state water projects, because it sounds like state water delivery allocations are not as low as what we expected. Could you comment on that?
That's good. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, that's correct. As you may recall, the first delivery estimates from the state water project were at 25%, and that started a series of activities that for us culminated in us requesting that the council give us authority to enter in an agreement with the county to secure additional state water for the current year. The council approved that request in January, and of course almost the next day the state increased because of the snowpack up in the Sierras, the state increased the delivery allocation to 35%. With our existing contract and the drought buffer that we purchased, we have enough security that we will be able to receive enough state water this year to meet our demands, with of course the 2-week November period taken into consideration. So we won't need to enter into any agreement with the county for this year. Parenthetically, the county had drafted this agreement, a one-year agreement to be able to transfer water from agency to agency, and the state has indicated that they have some issues with a single-year agreement, so the county is working with the state to modify that. But as it looks right now, at 35% and with snow happening in the mountains as we speak, the allocations for 35% look fairly secure for this year. They could be going up in future months, but we should not have any shortage of state water this year.
And does this mean our water rates stay the same?
There was never a discussion of increasing the water rates, period.
Good. We were wondering. Okay. Additional?
On that same subject, if I may, Bill, please.
Yes, sir.
I have a question, as usual. Total state water deliveries for the year were 1,116 acre-feet.
Correct.
Total water production for 2007 was 1,446.
Correct.
Where did that 330 extra acre-feet come from?
Groundwater and the desalter.
And this 1,400... and 46, is that going to be our average usage per year?
What we've seen is certain fluctuations more climatically. Strangely enough, in drier, warmer years, people use more water. And I think that's what we saw in 2007. It was a fairly dry, warm year. People were using a little bit more.
Okay, thank you. That took care of that one. I do have some other questions, but I think Noah has some. Do you have any?
Not on the water.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll continue. I'll get mine out of the way and get them over with. Janine, since you're here, I have a question. And this is in relation to a subject that Bill raised. We've all talked about it one time or another. How can we get Channel 20 on satellite dish? Because a lot of us would go to satellite if we could get Channel 20 in a New York minute.
That I have I don't know the answer to. Satellite television is a whole different beast than cable television, and it has completely different regulatory laws and rules that it follows. So that would be something that we would need to look into, what would need to happen to try to get our local government channel onto satellite.
Is that something we as a city can initiate, or is it something that we have to go through?
That is something that I don't know. That's one of the things we'd have to look into to see what the process might be, if there indeed is a process or if there is no process.
What is the PWAB process of doing that then? How can we initiate that? Put it on the agenda.
You're going to have to put it on the agenda for the next meeting. You definitely can't address it at this meeting.
Is that something that we can do, though? We can put it on the agenda, have a discussion, and maybe start heading in that direction? Is that possible, Bill?
Well, keep in mind that the protocol for the board on something like this is that on a board-initiated item, you can certainly agenda.
And I just would like to clear
I think I'll defer to Mr. Wade on that.
Mr. Wade, how convenient. Thank you.
Good evening. Dylan Wade, Senior Civil Engineer, City of Morro Bay. In regards to that, the city has taken action to move to tertiary treatment. Some confusion might pop up in discussions with the regional board. The permit that we'll get is for full secondary. So our permit from the regional board to discharge will never be anything more than a secondary permit. They can't permit us for anything more than that. That's the legal requirement. So in some of the staff work and in some of the discussions, in reference to the regional board, you'll hear us talk about the secondary permit, our time schedules to get to full secondary treatment by this date and time. But effectively what we're referring to is the construction of the tertiary treatment plant. So I don't know if that answers it or not, but the city has moved and has taken action, and we are marching ahead with a project to build a full tertiary treatment
and
wastewater plant.
And the JPA is totally behind this?
That's correct.
Thank you. Good
You're
answer.
Welcome.
I understand it. Thank Appreciate you. It. And so do the citizenry. Bill, on Fire Station 54, the upgrade, the recent rains exposed some leaks in the building. And the contractor is making the repairs.
That's correct.
Who's paying for it?
The contractor.
Thank you.
And parenthetically, they were supposed to come out today, but it didn't rain. They did do the repairs and were waiting for a comparable rainstorm to evidence the effectiveness of the repairs.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And my last question, and it may be redundant, but it's gathering dust, and I'd like to move it. What can we do with the city tree map that the PWAB board updated?
I don't believe that we ever received that tree map back.
No, you haven't. It's sitting in the closet gathering dust. I'd like to know, can I bring it in?
You can bring it in. We could make a copy of that. That way you could keep the original. We're in the process of converting our paper tree map to a GIS database. Mm. That way we can store more than just one note next to that dot or X out that dot. We can store information when it was trimmed, when it was planted, what size it was, a photograph of the tree, if there was a complaint received on that tree, when that complaint was, what action was taken, that type of information with our tree database. We're actually converting it to Access first, then it will be incorporating it into GIS. And we'll be discussing that and more at the next meeting to talk about urban forestry management.
Excellent. I like that. That's good. You want me to bring the map in then?
We'd really appreciate it because we'll need all the help we can get in updating our tree database.
Expect to see me tomorrow then. Thank you, Rob.
Janine, Roger mentioned that I brought up the thing about the satellite television and getting our public access and all that on there. Well, you know, the reason I brought it up was back in 96, everyone was excited about getting public access television and the city on the cable. We went through a lot of contortions on that thing and finally got it. Well, then we have the franchise fee. Well, the franchise fee from the cable company shouldn't be just because they hang their wires on poles that belong to PG&E or something. It's the access to the public, isn't it? So gradually it switches over to cable, to satellite television. There's no franchise fee, and they don't have these other requirements. And my thought was, is it possible for us to get other cities to go along with us to put pressure on the FCC, or get our congresspeople to put pressure on the FCC to make the same rules apply to the satellite as they apply to cable?
I think we have to move this to the next agenda.
And that's what it's all about.
Because it's not on our agenda today, and we're really kind of overstepping our bounds to start discussing it today. But I think we clearly know what it is that we want to put on the next agenda.
But Jeanine is here.
Well, we'll drag her back.
You think we can do it, that's what I mean.
As I mentioned before, both the satellite and cable have completely different regulatory worlds. And even with our cable television, as you can remember from the end of 2006, state legislation took franchise authority completely away from the local communities and rested it with the state. So it's even harder to, when we got the local public education and government access channels, is because we were renewing our franchise agreement, and that was part of the negotiations. We don't have that kind of leverage with satellite companies. We don't have franchise agreements with them. We're not allowed to have franchise agreements with them. So it makes it very difficult. If the council certainly wants the city gathering that kind of information and background.
Yeah. Need to agendize that. Noah, did you have any more comments on the director's report?
Not currently. I'd like to hear the summary, the classic summary from the gang, and potentially then, but I'm fine now. Thanks.
I'll take that as a cue. The only other item that I really wanted to bring up, which is something that could be a pretty important item in the upcoming months and possibly years, is the Navy Fuel Depot property. For those of you that aren't aware, the Navy Fuel Depot is located in the northern part of the community along Panorama Drive between Rennell and Yerba Buena streets. It's a 10-acre parcel that has 2 5-million-gallon mothballed fuel tanks and a water tank and a maintenance building. It's a 10-acre parcel there, along with a 96-mile pipeline easement between Morro Bay and Lemoore Naval Air Station. The federal government has declared that to be surplus. They sent us a letter. There is a priority on the government, the federal government, surplusing property. First, they seek out other federal agencies that may want it. Then, if no federal agencies want it, then it steps down to the local agencies. And if no local agencies want it, then they sell it to the highest bidder. This item is on the next council agenda. We received, the letter was dated that we got from the General Services Administration February 1st, and we have 30 days submit a formal response if we're interested in acquiring the property, which would then be that it would be due to GSA on March 2nd. There's a few questions that we still have, but I should say just for the sake of clarity that this is a 10-acre property that is zoned residential within the city limits. The council, we'll be asking the council to determine what use we may want to have for the public purposes and whether they wish us to seek to acquire the property. If we do want to acquire the property, again, there are two manners. If we want to acquire with no limitations on the use, then we would negotiate a sale based on fair market value. And I don't think I need to tell you what 10 acres of residential property on the coast would cost. And if we want to get it for no cost, we can with very specific uses for public health, for park and open space, airports, homeland security, low-income housing, stuff like that. So that's coming up on the council agenda at this next meeting, and over the next weeks and months and possibly years, depending on what the council wants to do, the avenue for acquisition or disposal by some other means will be underway. The GSA will be disposing of the property in the very near future.
I've got a question for you. What is the location of that 10-acre parcel?
It's along Panorama Drive between Rennell and Yerba Buena.
So the north end of town?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it east of Panorama?
It's, yes.
Oh.
It abuts Panorama?
Yes.
Is it where those tanks are located?
Correct. Correct.
Were we ever thinking about putting more tanks up there?
We talked about when we originally went to council in the fall of 2003 when we first heard that it was potential that the property was going to be surplused. And we did express, the council did direct us to express interest, and one of the things that we were looking at was for water and utility purposes, because that was something that we might be able to do, but the process has changed. Everything is starting over, and the council will be considering whether we want to acquire the property, and if so, for what purpose, at the next meeting.
I think Bill, Madam Chair, Bruce Amble, Public Services Director. I just wanted to add, Bill's right. This will be on the council agenda for Monday. So before we get into a lot of deliberations, the packets will be available, I believe, on Friday. So, you know, you can give us a call if anybody has any questions after they've read the staff reports. Thank you.
What is staff recommending?
Just like Bill described, we're going to have to put some effort into it if we want to control the property, and it's a fairly lengthy, very federally bureaucratic process, and there are a number of implications, and we're really just asking direction from council. Just kind of want to get it out there for the folks to kind of get familiar with the concept of it. And as Bill indicated, you know, there's 93 miles of pipeline and some other things that we're not quite sure.
That needs to be answered.
Yeah, we may be getting a little far in the field. This was under the update, and we'd prefer to get in the deliberations with more information that's available in the council pack.
Absolutely.
What we've attached to the council pack, and then the protocol calls are going in council first. That's why I'm speaking up. And we have kind of like a real, even HUD puts out a fairly simple guide to following this fairly complex, cumbersome process. And, you know, it's one of these 20-page simple version things that describe what the process is. So we encourage you to take a look at it, and we'll do our best to answer any questions at that time. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it with this proximity to existing neighborhoods and an important part of town as far as residential. It behooves us as a city to pay close attention to this and make sure we know all the details and make a good decision.
Hear, hear.
Do we have more comments from staff on the director's report? Anything significant that you'd like to talk about, Rob or Janine?
Just want to point out under storm drains that last month's storms did cause a failure of a fairly significant storm drain between Seaview and Main, caused a sinkhole, and we'll be looking at a lining project to fix that storm drain line. It's probably a 50-year-old corrugated metal pipe line. Also want to bring up that it's under the NPDS, but it didn't make the director's report. We just received a letter from the regional board that notified us of our timeline for submitting our stormwater management plan to them. So we'll be looking at bringing that item to this board in the springtime this year to take a look at before we submit it to the regional board.
Great, thank you. Janine?
I have nothing else.
Okay, thank you very much. No further questions, Noah?
Yeah, actually, I just had a quick question about the MTBE. Item, if there was a little bit of clarification on the date when the council may visit this request by Shell to be released of their monitoring duties.
That's not on the agenda. The Shell did make the request to the regional board as of January 29th. We received a copy of the letter last week, so we have something around 9 days left to comment on that closure. The regional board is recommending clean closure of the site. They've met all their the state requirements for clean closure, and we're working with the city attorney's office to formulate a response to Shell.
Within the 9 day time?
9 day window that we have left to comment.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you. No comments from our new members? No further comments? Okay, we're moving then to new business because we just switched the old business and new business items on the agenda. And the first order of new business is the election of officers, which is the reason why we put the new business up ahead. We'd like to elect the chairperson and the vice chairperson this evening in light of the fact that we have a new membership on our board. So, with that open, do we have any nominations for the position of chair?
Actually, I'd like to have a quick discussion.
Okay.
I know we have talked about the amount of time that the chair position takes, and we've been very appreciative of Barry's work. And we, as a board, are going through a transition where we're bringing new members in. I would actually move that we continue as we are currently with you as our chair for an interim period. I know that you have potentially business that will come up later in the months, and we would be happy to accommodate you in any way as long as you feel it's time to move on. But in those interim periods, I would actually move for you to continue on the board and be our chair. And let us know when you think you're getting closer to a time where you might need to move on from that position. I feel like you've done a great job tonight.
Oh, thank you, Noah. My conflict that I personally have is I do a great deal of volunteer work for the animal shelter, the local animal shelter, and I do a lot of fostering of cats and kittens, and it gets pretty hectic around my house. So I don't have a great deal of time during that season, and that season actually starts the end of March. So I don't know that we would gain too much.
Aye.
Got it, Roger. And nominate your vice chair, Ralph.
thank you. Hopefully I can live up to former chair standards. Never chaired anything before. It's going to be most interesting. Be patient, Bill. We'll get there. Nomination for vice chair is now open. And go ahead.
I would like to nominate Noah Smuckler for vice chair of this committee.
I will second that.
I'd accept.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Noah, and welcome to vice chair. Bail me out when I need it.
I'll keep an eye on you.
Thank you. I'm going to need that, too.
Congratulations.
You taking off, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Okie dokie. Have a good evening. All righty. Now what do we do? Am I running the meeting now?
Uh-huh. You sure are. Urban Water Management Plan.
Urban Water Management Plan. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, first chapter of sanitary sewer management plan.
Oh, first chapter of sanitary sewer management plan. All right, Dylan, you're up to bat, and welcome and thank you, and we're all ears.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'll try to keep it brief. This is something that you guys, we're probably going to wear you down with this over the next year and a half. This is a state requirement that we prepare a sanitary sewer management plan. What that plan will entail is it has a certain number of mandatory chapters and topics that we need to address in this management plan. And if you look at about the fourth page of your packet, it outlines some of those major tasks. That's not all of them, but that's most of them. So what will happen here over the next year and a half, we'll be bringing these chapters to you as we have the chance to prepare them on a staff level. And what they are is we're really codifying
sort of the best management practices for the sewer system. And this is defining how we're going to respond to certain scenarios, how we're going to approach our routine repair and maintenance tasks. And really, it's the state's goal is to help sewer systems be better managed. Now, what that means for us, largely it's an effort in really codifying and putting down on paper a lot of things that we're already doing. But any time you put it down, you realize that there's a lot of exceptions and just nuances to what you do, and it always takes you longer than you anticipate. So what we have here tonight is the first chapter of this. The first chapter is the overflow emergency response plan. So what this is dealing with what happens when a sewer pipe backs up and you have a spill. And when there's a spill, whether or not it's on a private property or in the public main, generally speaking, we get called out to those. And so this sort of outlines the procedures for our guys on how to respond to this and how to deal with this. So I just want to put this out here. Hope you guys have had a chance to read through it. And then really I'll open it up to you. The goal here is to get this in front of the public. You can see how we deal with things, and if you have any input or want to provide any detail or want us to modify anything or any questions about why we're doing what we're doing, we'd be happy to answer that. I have Jim Hayes, who's our collections division lead, out there in the audience to back me up if we need him. But I'll open it up to you guys. If you have any questions, happily answer them. If not, or once we're done with the questions, then we'd like to go ahead and have you approve this chapter, adopt this chapter, and then we'll move on to the next one here in the next couple of months.
Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. Any questions? June, please.
I have a question about the different categories of spills. There's Category 1, Category 2, and then there's the third one where there's no overflow. And I was just kind of curious about how Morro Bay typically does. Do we have spills very often, or is that a rare occurrence?
No, I would call it a rare occurrence. I think year 2007, I think we had 9 total spills. Those include spills on private property. And then not all of the spills actually go anywhere. A lot of times we have a very responsive crew, so the guys get to them and get them contained before they ever really do anything or reach any or anywhere or cause any damage. So it's not something that happens very commonly, but when it does happen, you want to be poised to strike and know what you're doing.
I have to say that I read over the report, and as a citizen, it made me feel good to see that it is so well thought out and planned out every step of the way. And I'm glad to see that we have that in place.
Dylan, I had a question. In terms of the lift stations and having bypasses, as I read through the document, there's 4 lift stations, and 3 of them have lift state backups.
And we'll make sure that we have the bypass capability built into the future lift stations.
Are there any other questions? Noah?
How many times in the last year have you actually had to use that other company at that specific lift station?
The one lift station we had, the main broke. That was probably our biggest spill that got us scrambling. The main broke, that's our lift station 3. It broke. We repaired the pipe. The next day when we fired it back up, the pipe that we stuck in there, the contractor stuck in there, came apart. And so we actually used them 2 days. But that was it. It was probably 2 12-hour days.
I also appreciate in this that there's some sort of reporting for any incidents. And that's important because that's how you get your baseline. And it was very good to see. I think I'll wait, but I did have some comments about the mission statement in general, but as we're going a little technical here, I'd like to continue to go with that.
Jane?
Not at this time.
Bill? You want any questions, or do you want to make a comment? Or?
No.
Okay. I have a question. Is it possible... Part of the problems for, I believe, that citizens have with overflows is that we don't keep our lateral lines as clean as we should. We sometimes, because they're underground, we don't see them, we don't smell them, hopefully. We forget about them, but occasionally they do need to be cleaned out. And I wonder if there's a mechanism within the city, a process, that each household can be notified maybe once or twice a year as a reminder to check, if not clean it, if you know, so we can avoid. And that leads me into my second question, which is, if there is a spill and it's not the fault of the homeowner, does the homeowner still have to pay to clean it up? And how do you determine, or is there a mechanism to determine whose fault an overflow is?
It can be complicated. Usually our method of our approach, let me deal with your first question first, and then I'll come back to the second more difficult one. First question is, can we send out a reminder? Yes, we can. We put together sort of a public works flyer a couple times a year. We're trying to get it as frequently as quarterly. We haven't really made that goal yet, but that goes out in the water bill, and that goes to everybody within Morro Bay. So we will put that in there. I think that's a great idea. Just a heads up, this is your facility. It is buried. People generally don't even think about it until, you know, it's not working properly. And so we can certainly do that. I think that's a great idea. And in regards to your second question, go ahead.
I want to add just one thing on the inspection of sewer laterals. Through the development review process, when a property redevelops and adds fixture units, we make it a requirement of that building permit that they would video inspect that sewer lateral before we would issue a new building permit, so that we get a good inspection report before we add any more discharge to our sewer system. Just wanted to add that.
Thank you. As long as we're still on that subject, does the city have a list of people who can video a lateral line, or how does a citizen go about?
No, we don't have an approved video list. What we recommend is they contact their favorite plumber, and either their plumber can do it, or they know of a plumber that they can subcontract with to perform that service for them.
Very good. Thank you.
Additionally, when we do inspections on the main, if we observe a problem in the lateral, we'll let them know. When we're filming down the main, usually the camera can tilt and we'll pan up and look up their lateral, and you can usually see 3 or 4 feet, sometimes further, and we'll let them know if we see anything. So we're pretty good about getting the word out there on that. The second question you had, let me make sure I get this right. Well, go ahead and repeat it to me. I don't want to mess it up.
It has to do with who's responsible financially for a sewer spill. If there's a question whether it was the city's main or the resident's lateral. It is a sticky wicket, I understand, and it's difficult to really, it gets into a lot of legal mumbo jumble, and I just was looking for a quick answer if there is a policy.
I'll give you quick and dirty on that.
Dirty.
No pun intended.
Thank you.
When we respond, we respond the same whether it's the city's problem or the private lateral. Our first goal in responding is to make sure that the problem's contained and properly cleaned up. That's kind of.
And I don't know, Dylan, if you address this, but in terms of, Roger was saying, in terms of flushing the system, that was annually, biannually?
We were pretty good about maintenance on our system. We hit everything in the city less than 2 years. There are spots that we hit way more frequently than that. So the guys have gotten, over the years, they know where their problem spots are. And some spots we clean as frequently as, you know, once every month or once every 3 months, depending on the need. But we hit everything in the city at least once every 2 years. We're probably close to about once every year, but I don't want to promise that kind of performance forever.
Thank you.
See, how common are the anti-black flow devices in the residential sewer outflow lines in the city?
There's hundreds of them out there. Any spot that we identify as being a problem area where they're likely to experience a backup because the house is lower than the manhole upstream from them or downstream from them, if we find out that they're likely going to have sewage backup into the home if there's a problem, then we'll send them out a letter and request that they install that device.
But they aren't required in the code.
Just want to add, in new development, yes, they are required to be installed with new development, but there is quite a bit of existing development out there without sewer backflow devices.
How about when a remodel fixes?
Depends how substantial the remodel is and if they're adding fixture units to that system.
Okay. Was there anybody else? Noah, did you have any further comments?
Actually, Dylan and I had a conversation earlier, mostly focused on the mission statement and within the overall management plan. And the mission statement's concise and it's excellent. Talks about essentially why it's important for us to maintain the system and keep it in an efficiently run manner. I felt like this was a good opportunity to also emphasize our commitment to best management practices and emerging techniques as they develop. And because of that, I thought it would be good for us to put some sort of language into these bullet points here that does highlight our emphasis on the best management practices that are emerging and currently existing. I don't know if, Dylan, if you had a chance to think any more about where you thought that might fit in the best, or if you'd like me to take a shot at it. I have an idea, but I think you may, since you've been so intimate with this document, have a better position for it.
Sure, and as Noah and I discussed earlier today, and for the benefit of everybody else, I want to be careful. The collection system workers aren't in charge of the storm drain system, and so I don't want to get them too far afield. We're trying to keep them fairly narrowly focused. With that in mind, on page 4, the mission statement, there's a spot there. It's very important to us as collection system to discourage water sources flowing into the collection system. So we have to reduce storm water sources flowing into the collection system. That's about the fourth line up from the bottom. And so what I thought we could do there, Noah, to accommodate that request is modify that line to read to reduce storm water flowing sources flowing into the collection system by encouraging the use of BMPs and to aggressively minimize potential danger of untreated waters, discharge of untreated waters to the bay and ocean.
BMP's best management practices.
Thank you.
That sounds excellent, Dylan. I'd move that. Were there any other comments?
It doesn't sound like it.
I would move that we accept the item as presented and endorse it as a good document with changes as Dylan read to the mission statement.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Bill. It's been motioned and seconded. Any further comment before we take a vote? Is this something that is relatively easy for staff to do, just insert this? And?
Yeah, no problem with the change.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Noah. Good suggestions, and thank you, Dylan. Let me see here. I keep forgetting that I'm the chair. Where am I? Directional signage program. Mr. Embo,
Mr. Chair,
back.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'm just going to give you a brief opening, a little background on where the directional signage program came from. This was approved by the council two or three years ago. It's a grant-funded project. And the goals of the directional signage program was to really provide a wayfinding system in and around and throughout the community for the unfamiliar traveler, to also reduce the visual clutter with excessive gateway signs that folks will see off Highway 1 that brings them into the community, and then entry signs and directional signs, and there's a whole hierarchy of that, and I think Rob's going to go over that in his presentation. But I'm getting down to where we're at really with this is, you know, when we're going through this, we're sending people to places, and we just want to get some feedback on where we're sending them to and what we're calling these places. And Rob, at the end of his presentation, is like, there's questions like, do we want to call it Embarcadero or Waterfront? See, they could be confusing. So we want to get buy-in on this so that Because after we've got another presentation to community promotions tomorrow, and then another presentation to the business forum, and then if we don't hear anything for another week or so, then we're going to go ahead and place the order, and the next time you'll see these will be when they're installed in the community. And these have a 20-year lifespan on them, and we can't change copy on them that easy. It's an integrally constructed product. If you can see them, they really show color well, and they're pretty resistant to the marine environment that we're in. But I'll let Rob get on with his presentation and just kind of frame the issues where we want to get your feedback. We call it Old Town, Downtown, the Embarcadero, Waterfront. We're going to call it the Rock or the Harbor Walk. So some of those things, and we're looking for your help. So. Feel free to ask us any questions anytime. Thank you.
It's all yours, Rob.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. I had a lot of help from my engineering intern that works for the city now, Paul Cunningham. He wasn't able to be here. He's actually going to up to the Bay Area to maybe interview for a real engineering job. Not that he's not doing a real engineering job here, but I don't think he wants intern after his name for his entire career.
Something that pays more, I presume.
A little bit of background. This project began in fall of 2005. Grant funds are being used to pay for and complete this project, and the City Council approved this project in October of 2005. And what we're bringing to you now, as Bruce said, is the final draft of the locations and the sign copy. Why are we doing this? Promoting tourism, giving the community signage a uniform look so we don't have that clutter of various signs out there. Promoting a friendlier environment, and it allow for easier navigation for the unfamiliar traveler or visitor. These signs are proposed to be placed in several locations, and we have an overview map that gives at the north end of town at San Jacinto Yerba Buena, I must have skipped a slide here. Okay. Central area, several locations there, along Highway 41 and Highway 1 ramps, sort of in the Old Town, Downtown, Embarcadero, Waterfront area. That would be a little bit too wordy. Several signs there. And with that, we'll move on to what the types of signs we have. First, we have gateway signs. These are on major entry points into the city. Our two major entry points that we're picking, Highway 1 and Highway 41 coming into town. They encourage people to stop and enjoy the city. This is a sample of what the sign will look like, although the post, these entry signs are going to be in Caltrans right away. So, as Bruce mentioned, we do have a Caltrans encroachment permit, and they dictate the mounting materials. So there'll be 4x6 wood posts that they'll be mounted on. There'll be lighted signs with a solar panel on them also, so that not only is it more environmentally friendly, it's easier to get power to these signs by having them solar powered. The proposed locations, this is Highway 1 North coming into town. It's on the right side of the photograph. That's San Bernardo Creek Road. And just off the left side is South Bay Boulevard. So, thank you, Janine. Yeah, that circled area is where Caltrans has directed us to place the sign. They have popular destinations. This is a location at Maine at State Park Road, coming into the city through the State Park. It would have information that would direct people to the waterfront and to the downtown. This is at Quintana. The sign location really has to be coordinated with the roundabout, and the recommended location at this point is where the existing wall near the mobile station has that visitor information sign to replace that sign. And that sign would also direct people to the downtown and to waterfront Embarcadero. Southbound Main at Quintana, another sort of entrance sign into the city, similar information on that sign as well. Highway 1 at Main Street. This is at the ramp between Radcliffe and Highway 41. That's where that sign would be located. Here we would like some information on also North Morro Bay. What type of directional information that we want to add to that signage, whether it's beaches, restaurants, shops, but we can't get too much information on these signs either. So we have to have a simple phrase that sort of incorporates North Morro Bay.
I was thinking beaches and North Main. North Main Street.
I
agree with Matt that beaches is important there, and to acknowledge North Main Street generally would let people know that there is action in that part of town.
There's still a burgeoning number of shops and restaurants over there, too. Not burgeoning. They've been there for years, decades. Mm-hmm. So, obviously the beaches are going to be the main focal point, the state park there on the Strand. But they're on the, down by the pit and the high school. People go down there all the time also.
Mr. Chair, how about if we said, beaches and commercial, North Main Commercial or something that gives it commercial, that if we send them up there, there's a lot of stuff going on in North Main. If you want, we can call it Beaches North Main. We've got two other.
What if we call it Uptown?
Well, we could do that, too. And, but that means you're committing to a downtown, right? I would think.
Well, we did that a long time ago.
Well, some people like Old Town.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yes. I'm an Old Town person.
Okay, that's...
I see. Yes.
Okay, I got you now.
All right.
Do you have a location for those signs in North Morro Bay?
Right. Rob's getting to those.
Oh, okay.
We've got three other key ones.
Yes. Yes.
I have a question. So far, are you sticking with the traditional name as the general public and long-term community have called these different places downtown? It seems like most people have called that downtown. I haven't heard Old Town, so
I think
could
there's
potentially
some people
be adjusting
that
some lingo here.
I think some people have some very strong opinions on both downtown and Old Town, and we need to sort of balance those, get a community consensus, and like Bruce said, these signs are almost forever, so we need to come up with something that we're not going to be changing.
Let me add to that. I have to recognize and give thanks to Ed Biagini. He was a key person that helped move this project along, and he even went with me down to Caltrans to try to... We've been with Caltrans for about over 2 years trying to get these approved on the freeway. So, and Ed Biagini was the lightning rod that got a lot of that stuff done. So if he would have been here, he would have had very strong preferences.
Are these his preferences?
I think he was an Old Town supporter, and I don't recall where he was with Embarcadero versus Waterfront. And Janine was going to use the same name on the Waterfront trolley or the Embarcadero trolley, so we're going to build off of that. And one of the other things I want to mention, you may recall we sent the parking management plan to you. Last year, a few months ago, one of the stronger recommendations in that was to try to get people out of the more congested areas on the Embarcadero and use the surplus of parking that we have on the flanks. And one of the objectives of this sign program was to get people through the Front Street parking lot and the Tidelands Park parking lots and make more effective use of those, and couple that with the trolley so that, you know, with the 20-minute or 25-minute headways, the people would be have a more predictable a route and would more make more effective use of parking in the uncongested areas, and leave the from the promotions committee and from the business committee, business group, and then we'll just have to move on with what we've got, because we could probably keep thinking about these things.
Well, are you going to go with consensus with the promotions and business and PWEB, or
yes,
we're going to? Okay, so the majority rules then?
Right, that'd be the easiest.
Oh no, okay.
Yeah, that I mean, we're in favor of easy. So
okay. I haven't seen any signs within the maybe I just missed them. Fire, police?
They're yet to come.
Ah, okay, thank you. I mean, the locations have already been established. It's just a matter of putting the sign, or we're going to have more locations?
Yes, the locations have already been established by city council action. This last round is to get consensus, final consensus on the copy and content, sorry, yes. This sign here at 41 and Main is another one that would be appropriate to have the something about North Morro Bay and the beaches. On the back side of that sign as you're leaving town, we thought of it might be a good idea to add, tell people that you could get to Del Mar Park at Ironwood would be that point, because there are locational signs that have the same theme.
Well, since public services needs our input, if you don't mind my suggesting, let's take a consensus.
Well, I have several more slides to go through. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
We
do continue.
Okay. Here's another one, an entrance sign at San Jacinto in Maine, that, you know, the copy that we got from the graphics basically is pointing people towards, you know, the downtown and the waterfront with no mention of North Morro Bay. So
right there would be the perfect case for Del Mar Park up San Jacinto.
Yeah.
And the beaches.
Yeah. The beaches pointed towards the north on that sign.
Or also the cloisters with the walking path, you know, because that's very popular when people come to do the birding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that almost implies that there's nothing at that part of the town. Just everybody going south to get to the place where all the houses, which isn't really accurate.
No, I think we need...
the park.
Your mic. We need directions, I think... to the north,
it
definitely.
Or to the park,
yeah,
which is right up the hill there.
Right. And maybe for those neighborly highlights to only keep besides the beaches, but in that one case with Del Mar, that would probably be one of the only signs that actually had Del Mar Park on it, probably not including that specific park because there's others like North Point and so on. We could generally say beaches and parks and North Main business or whatever we decide there, but it seemed appropriate not to try to guide people to the park from downtown Morro Bay or wherever it is.
Did you want to say something, Bruce?
No, when we went through the same exercise with staff, and we tried to simplify it to the extent we can, and we came up with beaches too. That was one of the things everybody, we seemed to get agreement that beaches north, but we didn't want to underemphasize the commercial aspect. There are shops and stores. One of the things we had when you were up there is, shops and stores or shops and restaurants or beaches shops and restaurants or something. There's also for the traveler and the readability of these, there's a formula based on how fast you're traveling and how much you can read. And we've all experienced signs where you can't, even when you're walking, when you can't read the thing next to you. So we're sensitive to make these readable and usable. And so we don't want to add too much or get the font size too small or get them too cluttered that they wouldn't shift people over. Generally speaking, the bigger ones at the entrances are simpler. Then when you get people down to pedestrian areas where they're walking, we can get a little bit more wordy and, you know, reduce the size of the type.
So our audience is predominantly the tourist, the first-time, second-time visitor?
Our audience for there's a tourist definitely on Highway 1 because you're traveling at 65 miles an hour. So
what about these signs within the city?
Getting off here, I think we probably have room for one or two other things. It's just we didn't want to get real cluttered.
Right.
We've only got, for North Morro Bay, I think we've got three sign opportunities.
Yes,
and
that's
correct. And there's a directory, an entryway.
I'd rather have shops and restaurants or something like that. Commercial almost implies industrial or, I don't know. It just doesn't sound inviting in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want us to hold our comments till the end, or as we're going through this?
Yes.
Yes, what? Wait till
the end?
Yes. Like you've been doing?
I can do what I want.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Well, maybe we can get through it. Then we'll see, you'll get an idea of the whole program. And then, because Rob's going to wrap up and focus you on the pose of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's have the presentation, and then we'll get into comments.
Okay. Now we're down to the level of directional signage. These are slower speeds, pedestrians, bicyclists, for moving about the city, may contain more detailed information, locational information. Southbound Main at Marina Drive. The typed copy off to the side is as opposed to what is on the sign copy is what we're proposing there. And we're sending people to the Embarcadero boat launch, harbor walk, and public parking at that location. Northbound Main at Marina, similar sign copy on there. Getting people down to waterfront, Embarcadero, parking locations. Here you're at the Embarcadero. We have public parking in both directions. We have the Harbor Walk that you can get to, Tidelands Park, and the boat launch. Southbound Main at Harbor. Again, similar copy, getting them down to the waterfront / Embarcadero boat launch area, beach access, also directing to downtown and to the state park area. The southbound Main at Beach, more similar copy there, getting waterfront area to parking Embarcadero, boat launch, state park. Here is Morro Bay Boulevard at Harbor. This is directing people, waterfront / Embarcadero. We're also directing them to, here we can get to fire, post office, library, and transit is what we have here, but one of the optional is dial-a-ride because that's what the building is labeled. So that
instead of transit?
Instead of transit, yeah. Here's a summary of the locations. New entry signs at or gateway signs at Highway 1 northbound, Highway 41 westbound. Several gateway or entry signs.
Was there going to be a gateway coming into the north side of town?
The existing gateway, we weren't permitted to,
because of the state park sign there.
To change that that gateway sign by Caltrans. Seven entry signs and six directional signs are the is the city sign program. These are the decisions that we're trying to get to tonight is Embarcadero waterfront, downtown, Old Town. I guess we could add, excuse me?
Something for North.
And something for North, Morro Bay. And I think we can handle dial-a-ride or transit, unless somebody has a strong feeling one way or the other.
Well, I don't know that a tourist would understand dial-a-ride.
You don't think they'd put that with transit? I mean, ride and transit?
Well, I don't know about transit either.
But at the time of the year when we have the trolley running, too, they're going to dial-a-ride trolley. There's confusion there.
How about just trolley?
Trolley.
Well, trolley.
Well, the sign where this is referring to is for a government building. So this is the dial-a-ride office where the dispatcher is housed, where you can come in, you can schedule a ride, you can sit and wait for the vehicle, not the trolley stop locations. We have other signs that are directing you to public parking, particularly along the waterfront Embarcadero area, and there will be trolley stops there that will be noted in the trolley maps and then have a little icon linking with parking. So once they see the parking lot and the trolley...
Would you have enough space to fit PUB, period, transportation? Public transportation? Or is that too...
Or public transit?
Or public transit, maybe.
And then also throw another kink in the works where people are going to pick up the trolley and the regional transit is up at the park. And they pick up dial-a-ride there too? Or dial-a-ride goes anywhere, right?
At City Park, there is a regional transit stop. There is also the trolleys. On the later agenda item, it'll be what I'm calling for now, the north route and south route, which is in downtown and coming from the north, will have a transfer point there. So there'll be connections from one trolley to another, from the trolley to the regional system to the trolley, or during the times that the dial-a-ride is open, transfer from either of those to the dial-a-ride system. My only concern with listing public transit on this one sign is there's public transit in all different points throughout the rest of the downtown, the waterfront, and whatnot, and it may get to being having too much stuff on signs. What the idea with putting the location on this particular sign, because it's directing to a government building, where the dial-a-ride is actually doing the dispatching, receiving calls, or somebody can walk in, buy tickets, or schedule a ride. And the building, the name on that building says dial-a-ride, not transit. So that was my only concern was if we were to say transit, go to the transit office, turn right, people start to turn right, they're looking for transit office,
right.
They pass dial-a-ride, and they get confused.
And I will even add to that. Simple is better, and the more commonly understood, I think, is easier. And it should be if you asked 100 people walking down the street, the majority of them said, "Well, I think transit would do it." Even though we may have some unique circumstances, I'm in favor of going big, simple, easily understandable.
That's what it has to be. You know, in my professional career, I did about 2,000 outdoor boards. And I was a professional photographer for advertising agencies and stuff, you know. And the rule for outdoor boards was it's got to read in a half a second. If it can't read in a half a second, forget it. You've failed. You've wasted your money. So you've got to keep it simple. And what you've done here in most of this stuff, it is is simple, but you keep it at a typeface you can read. No fancy typefaces that are hard to read. Now that outdoor board we have down there in the Jones property across from on Highway 1, across from Mount
we know where you're talking about.
Anyway, yeah. That sign is a total failure. It's typical what amateurs do in this kind of work. See, they all know what it says. But the person they want to read doesn't know what it says, and he's going by at 90 feet a second.
Right.
So they can't read that thing. You know, it should be something that gets people to turn off the highway in Morro Bay, but you can't get that message going by at 90 feet a second. But I say the people that produced it all know what it says, and they think it's great. See?
I wanted to agree with Bill. I think simple is better.
Yeah,
the simpler we can make. And one idea I just came up with is, what if we have transit at the top of the street sign, and on the Dial-A-Ride office, would it be too hard to add underneath Dial-A-Ride transit office an additional, some kind of labeling there?
If so it that says would Dial-A-Ride tie in. Office, put Dial-A-Ride on the sign.
Right. We can look into creating a new sign for the office, because we do have information for the regional transit system. If people were to walk in, we have information for a trolley. So it functions a little. It mainly is the Dial-A-Ride office, but it has another little public transit component. So we can look into the budget and getting a new sign created that incorporates.
So I'm going to try and move you along. I didn't mean to cut you neat off, but I want to move you along and see if we have some kind of consensus here on the question of transit Dial-A-Ride. If not, we'll move on and take it.
No, you're on the right track.
Well, I wanted to ask a question, just backing up a little bit. Why are we even saying transit there? I mean, there's a fire department down there. There's a police department across the street. Why are we singling out transit? There are city offices. Why is transit important to a visitor? Especially a Dial-A-Ride. Why would that be important to a visitor into town?
We actually do get a number of visitors who use the Dial-A-Ride service once they get into town. People in the campgrounds use it quite frequently. It's another way of getting people out of the cars that are maybe not familiar with the area, get them off the water, traffic congestion kind of thing. That's where we were looking at it as being an important component. The signage where the transit offices would be put on, fire department, library, city hall, those are all listed as well. So it's not specifically focusing just on the transit office.
For the our sticking point, let's call it transportation.
I like transportation.
Transit is hauling packages, too.
Can you fit transportation?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more syllables in there. So.
Or public
transit. Well, then we get away from the public again.
Well, can we do public transit? Does that make everybody happy?
But that's a bus or something.
Well, so is Dial-A-Ride. So is...
We've got five transit, one Dial-A-Ride.
Okay.
Why don't we stick with transit?
And we'll see if public transit is possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And we'll see what the font size ends up being.
And you've got the Planning Commission. You've got all the others that you're going to get feedback.
Well, we're only going. We've already been to the Planning Commission. Oh. We're going to you primarily because these are public signs.
Okay.
And
well, we appreciate
that. And we're sending people to public parking areas.
Okay.
In the downtown folks, because it's...
Right. Okay, transit on that one.
How about...
What's the next...
Waterfront.
Embarcadero. Bill, why don't we start with you? What would you prefer, Embarcadero or Waterfront?
Well, you know, most people we're dealing with people that don't live here, and Embarcadero is a word we're familiar with, pertaining to the waterfront. But if I went to Santa Cruz, you know, I'm looking for the waterfront, you know.
So would you like waterfront?
I think it ought to be waterfront. It's more...
I totally agree with Bill. I think Embarcadero might be confusing to a new person. They might not understand what it is. And I think waterfront is, like, so obvious.
Got it.
Agree.
Waterfront?
Waterfront.
All right. Thank you.
Waterfront.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. Next.
Downtown, Old Town.
Well, I've got it. Let me give you all a little history. Old Town was introduced by Richard and Lori Reynolds, back in the early 90s. They had a shop called Morro Bay Mud Fudge and got very interested in doing something about the downtown area, and they proposed calling it Old Town. And they came before the council. I think Bill Yates was mayor at the time. And that's where Old Town came from, and it kind of clicked at the time. That's the history. I was in favor of Old Town at the time, but Old Town hasn't changed in the look or the appearance at all. And to me, it's still downtown, visually speaking. I personally would love Old Town if it looked like an old town. But at the moment, we're lacking the visualization implied by Old Town. So I could go with either way. Matt, how would you like to?
Nice way to kick it to me.
Well, you're new. We need imaginative input here.
Well, those two differences, living here most of my life, downtown implies a business center. And we have a lot of businesses down there, but we don't have that many. However, in terms of creating some sort of cohesion for Morro Bay with the waterfront and understanding the differences between the waterfront and the Embarcadero, understanding that that means different things to different people, if we're trying to create some sort of cohesion with Morro Bay as a tourist, getting people here and sending them to different parts of the city, I like Old Town.
Okay. Jim?
I think I prefer downtown, because it is where most of the majority of our businesses are. And I think that goes along with maybe calling the other part of town uptown. And I think we need to have something for the other north end of town as well, some kind of designation. And I don't know, Old Town to me, we don't have enough old character. But we do have some old funky buildings that I really don't want to draw attention to. That's what I think of as like old run-down town is what it sounds like. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, so you're a downtown.
I'm a downtown.
Very good. Noah?
I am certainly in the spirit of simplicity, downtown and uptown. But I did want to actually check with Janine about the trolley and how that would potentially fit in with your plans there for labeling those routes.
Well, for right now in the staff report, you see it's north, south, and waterfront. But the idea, I was going to say in my presentation, those are not set in stone based on what happens here with the directional signage in order to be consistent. If we label the waterfront instead of the Embarcadero, I'd like to label the trolley route on that the waterfront route, so that it's consistent. Same mm-hmm. thing with downtown or Old Town, whichever it ends up being would be the name for the trolley route in that area.
Okay,
so it doesn't mess me up at all. I'm kind of going with what eventually is going to okay. be put on
Good
the signs.
Question.
Great, then I'll stick with downtown.
Okay. Jane?
Input on those entrance signs, you know, what types of destinations do we want to send people in North Morro Bay? Is it, you know, there are beaches that going to, there is commercial and restaurants and shops, but we can't get all of that information on, you know, one sign. Perhaps maybe it's, you know, beaches, restaurants, and shops. I don't know that uptown like would mean that. Anything like to Did, anybody.
No. Does beaches, restaurants, and shops work for you?
Works for me. Matt? You are a North Morro Bay person, resident, as is Noah. June, are you also? The three of you, I think, should weigh in.
I felt like uptown was nice because it really kind of balanced it out pretty simply, especially after Highway 41. As you start to move closer into North Morro Bay or uptown, then starting to add some of the other attractions that we have up there, and although I do think beaches should be on the Highway 41 as a main attraction pretty much throughout. But as you move closer into North Morro Bay or uptown, then starting to highlight things like North Point Park, Del Mar Park, and potentially the Cloisters Bike Trailer Park as you have downtown.
No, that's a good point. However, to bring up instead of uptown, maybe another suggestion is it's the same way everybody in Morro Bay calls downtown downtown. Everybody calls North Morro Bay North Morro Bay.
Yeah.
Couldn't we do something North MB? I mean, someone coming into town is going to know that the MB stands for Morro Bay. Mm. And I don't know.
I think as far as visually on the sign, you have downtown and uptown, and immediately you consider that there are stores, restaurants, and places of service, really simply and easily. It seemed clear. I will probably continue calling it North Morro Bay, as most of us will, but for your visitor, it seemed like it would be quick and easy, and then, that's my opinion.
What about North Town? Would that work? I like, well, or uptown I like as well. I think of up in the old way of finding direction was on maps, and north was always up. So that kind of fits the north and up kind of go together to me. So anyway, I don't know, maybe, and then the only other thing is, I don't know about shops. I mean, there's grocery stores and there's restaurants, but there aren't many shops.
We got the surf shop and potentially.
Oh, that's true.
The idea is, in the future, as
open up
more becomes more commercial,
space
right?
Comes
right.
in and.
So I guess I wasn't real clear on uptown or northtown, or North Morro Bay. I think I like all those.
Either way, uptown or North Morro Bay, North MB. But then the three things you were saying was. Beaches, shops, and restaurants.
Right. How many can you put on there?
That'd be about the most. And
just
I think
three?
That's getting a little.
That would be four lines, right?
That's getting a little. We need to look at it and see if we can even get it so that it's readable. Now we're almost. So I can't tell you absolutely. We're going to get in. The next step is to take the copy and get into the actual sign design size and get into the fonts.
How about uptown, beaches, and shops?
I think uptown and beaches is plenty, especially at Highway 41. Uptown gives you that vision of shops.
Whatever
and
just give us your comments and we'll send them on. So if you feel strongly uptown works for everybody,
I don't think uptown means anything to an outsider because. A lot of different cities have places they call uptown, but it doesn't, I don't know what uptown in Pittsburgh is. I know what North Pittsburgh would be, because it's an actual direction on the compass. And North Morro Bay is that, is the north area of Morro Bay. And anybody would know that when they read it. But uptown is sort of ambiguous, because it can be applied in so many different ways, and it is applied in different ways in different towns.
I think, I don't know if we need to balance downtown with uptown, if those need to be paired together or not. That's kind of why uptown, I think, came to maybe some people's minds.
But downtown means
north is
a central business district in most places, and everybody knows that.
Well, yeah.
But does North Morro Bay say to people, hey, go this direction, there are shops and restaurants and stores this direction?
Well, I think
North Morro Bay doesn't say anything
to me.
It's just
north,
a part of town.
And then has below it, restaurants, beaches, and shops. If that's part of the sign, then you get the whole picture.
I think we can try to look at that. I mean,
that seems to make sense, is that you would have the moniker of North Morro Bay uptown and then have what's there also. Without getting too much information on that sign.
And I think we could. Sure.
Good luck.
Yeah. We'll forward all the comments on. I mean, it doesn't entirely. We're going to get feedback from some other folks, so it's not.
Well, let's get a consensus here. What are we dealing with? What's the one that we like the most? The three. Was it uptown, beaches, parks?
It was uptown. Northtown or North Morro Bay?
I go uptown myself. I like uptown.
Well, I just have some sort of vote there.
All right. You want to vote on just each one individually?
Yeah.
Or do you want to vote on a package?
Since we have three, why don't we vote for 10 take the highest vote? Would that work?
Sure. That's good. Uptown. How many for uptown?
Uptown.
Uptown. Two. Okay. How many for, what was it, North?
Northtown or North Morro Bay?
North Morro Bay.
North Morro Bay.
One, two, three, four.
Okay.
Looks like it's North Morro Bay.
North Morro Bay. Good.
Beaches, parks, and
restaurants.
Well, how many lines would that take?
That's beaches, three.
Parks and
that'd
restaurants.
Be four,
beaches, parks, restaurants. Can you put that on one line or two lines? So we
try to get it on one line in a big font, if possible, like with
beaches, parks.
Beaches, parks, and restaurants, either commas or dashes. In
how about dining? Beaches, parks, and dining.
Oh, dining.
What about shops?
Well, June had a valid point about shops, but
if we had to cut one out, that's all I'm saying. It's the least.
Well, there's also Spencer's down there too, and we have farmers market. A lot of people coming into town for farmers market.
I like beaches. I like parks. Let's go with beaches and parks for the moment. Just those two, at least, we have. We're consensus to keep those on the sign.
But all the parks are on the beach.
Well, dining. I kind of like dining. It's shorter than a restaurant.
Okay. Then we're debating about dining, restaurants, shops.
Shops, yeah.
Well, there's shops. I mean, there's...
I hate to cut out the shops, especially if there are going
to
be more shops as time goes on.
So
there's a great,
up,
you know, furniture store over there, and there are nice shops over there that aren't over on the other end of town, too. I mean, there are just things missing.
How about dining and shops? And beaches and parks.
Four. All right.
We, if you like, if
probably
we could
fit that on two lines,
and we could see if that's doable. We'll also, like Bruce said, we'll also have input from promotions.
I'm happy we found North Morro Bay, and that I mean that was a victory. So, you know, we can the rest of this we can look into if we get it. And we've narrowed it down to like four areas of potential names, and I mean that works for us. And then we can send it on and let others struggle with it.
I think the consensus
see if they like
is,
Uptown.
Yeah, is North Morro Bay, beaches and parks, dining and shops.
Yeah,
those three.
Go.
There's three lines.
Okay. I like it.
Are we agreed to that, Bill?
Yeah, that'll work for me.
Okay, North Morro Bay, beaches and parks. Dining and shops.
And the arrows will have to be worked out.
Right.
Right, yeah, we would send people the appropriate
Degree arrows or flat arrows. That's a consensus. Very good. Thank you all. Now,
thank you. Thank you.
Is that all you need from us on this subject?
That's it.
Yes.
We're done.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Done? Mr. Rambo, have a good eve.
Thank you.
And thank you. Okay, next item. Janine, is that your item? The next one? I don't even know where I am here. Where?
Signage program. Now we got
old business.
Well, the next you'd be going to old business, and you have the board agenda work plan, then the urban water management plan, and then the trolley routes.
Trolley routes. Is that what you're here for?
That's what
I'm
here
for. Let's do that right now if the board doesn't mind, so Janine can go home and have dinner. Go ahead, Janine.
Thank you. This should be a little bit simpler and easier than downtown.
No
uptown,
North Morro Bay
North
problems
Morro Bay.
Here? Okay, fire away.
Okay, tonight you have before you a review of the three new trolley routes that are going to begin in the trolley's 2008 season, which is Memorial Day weekend. In June of last year, the City Council considered recommendations from the Parking Management and Implementation Plan, which included a recommendation to separate what at that time was the Route 1 downtown waterfront Embarcadero route into two routes and have one trolley solely dedicated to the waterfront in an effort to shorten the headway on it. It was about a half an hour to do one loop. And then also kind of tie it in with some of the public parking areas in the outlying portions of the waterfront as a way to help relieve congestion. And then it goes from the state campground and state park and beach in the north end of town, comes down North Main into the downtown where it will make two connection points with the regional transit system and the south route at City Park on Harbor Street, and then it will also make a connection to the waterfront route and the south route up at Market Street near the Centennial Stairway at Morro Bay Boulevard. The other portion of what was the old Route 2, which basically at this point it would just be the state campground in the south end, what we decided to do was take Route 2, split it into two. We have the north part, and then take the downtown route, and then just add the state campground in the south to that, and that would become the south route, or now the downtown route. And what we did, most of the stops are pretty much the same, with the exception we've added a few that are nearer to some hotels and motels that had not previously been served by the old Route 1. This is also an effort to do some promotion with the motels and hotels in that area, again, to encourage people to ride the trolley as opposed to we're not very familiar with the area and we're going to go driving around town and trying to find parking that's only a few blocks away kind of thing. So the parking management plan had talked about a 15-minute loop for the Embarcadero. Logistically, this isn't possible because it takes 10 minutes to go from the Rock to Tylands Park. But the idea of shortening the headway from that half an hour to as short as possible as we could make it was kind of a goal that we were keeping in mind when developing the route. So we've gotten it down to pretty much a 20-minute headway, and the stops are pretty much the same as they were under the old Route 1. There's a few changes. We're adding a stop near the chessboard at Front Street on the Embarcadero because that's near to the public parking lot that's down there. And we also get people who've asked in the past to be let off there or be picked up there. And we've added another stop at the bottom of Beach Street in Embarcadero as we're coming back from the Rock heading towards the south end of the waterfront, because again we have lots of people who've asked to get on or off in that location, and there's an appropriate place from the parking lot near Coleman Beach where we're adding, and that stretch of restaurants and whatnot in that area. So what we're doing tonight is just coming to the board to show you the new routes that we're going to be implementing, asking for you guys to review them and provide any comments as necessary. If there's any changes or additions, the staff went to the transportation provider, MV Transportation, our general manager, as well as the main trolley driver who's been driving our trolley for over a decade. And we went and drove the routes. Do they make sense? Can the trolley get there, make the stop safely, that sort of thing, and get their input to make these work. And that's why we have some of the additions with the hotels and motels, as well as some of the other changes along the waterfront area. So what I'd like to do is turn it over to the board for any comments you have, any suggestions, and this will be going to the City Council next Monday. So any comments that you make tonight will be forwarded to them in an addendum to their staff report that went out today.
Very good. Thank you, Janine. Let's start with some comments and questions. Bill, do you have any... do you want to wait a moment and let me come back to you?
As far as I can see, it looks fine.
Put your mic on, please.
For 3 hours, I might find something.
Bill, put your mic on. Bill. Bill, put your mic on, please. And now say again what you were saying. There you go.
Yeah, from what I see here, it looks okay. You know, that's
okay. Thank you, Bill. Jane.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where the little lots go. I'm trying to see especially where the one comes from the Morro Bay State Campground, because I think a lot of people will be using
that's
the park.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of getting it. Starts here and then goes.
Right.
But the stop is in the entrance. And it's, you're trying
it's
to refer to
oh,
it.
Oh, it's kind of down here. Okay, gotcha.
It's right inside of the
and then it runs right along
the golf course.
Country Club Drive.
Main Street goes right into Main
okay.
Street.
Okay.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then along Main Street, and doesn't stop basically until it gets over to Harbor, or
the next stop would be just before Pacific Street. There's some motels and hotels in that block.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
No, that looks great.
This that shows all the three routes, and all the three routes and their stops. In visual form as well as in the word form at each stop on each route so that somebody in the north end of town could see I'm getting on the trolley here at the state park and here's where all these other places that we could go and here's where I need to transfer and that kind of thing.
Excellent.
So that's the ultimate goal, is having that kind of information. For the beginning of 2008, it's going to be still the little narrow, small kiosks with some limited information. But the ultimate goal is to get the larger information kiosks to provide that. Brochures are going to be updated as well, and the information will also be put on the city's website with the ability to be able to pull up the map, maybe in two different sections so you can have enlarge it as much as you want. But there are plans for going around to the businesses, the hotels, the motels, and providing brochures. brochures and information and asking if they would post something in their shop or in their window.
Also, just curious with the discussion about potentially, well, using an older trolley but looking to purchase a new trolley, a third trolley, and just curious or to put in a request to at least investigate electric trolleys or look at that
the
as
the council
an
has had that discussion, and for the timing of getting grant funding, and you have to be very specific about what you're applying for, whether it's gasoline, whether it's electric, because there's different scoring in the grant process. At the time the grants were submitted, there was not enough time to do an evaluation of electric trolleys and what kind of impact they would have on our maintenance, what kind of things we would need to acquire for maintenance. Is it going to be a reduction in our maintenance costs, an increase to our maintenance costs? There's also questions of, depending on whether it's an all-electric or a hybrid electric, where do we plug in? We'd have to get that kind of infrastructure set up down at the corporation yard, and we don't have a lot of space there. And where, so a lot of logistics and a lot of information that we would need to get in order to determine whether we would want to pursue an alternative fuel like that or continue along the line with the gasoline. And one of the council members, Melody DeMerritt, was going to have her students gather information and look into it and then hopefully bring that back at some point to be able to evaluate that information. So possibly a future trolley purchase, we would have that information available to make that determination on which direction we want to go.
That sounds good, and it'd be interesting to hear that report from her, from Melody's students. Thank you.
First, I have a question. Oh, no, that's a great idea about the electric vehicles, at least to be looking into that. And along those lines, I think it's a good idea if Morro Bay can promote itself as a green city. And I was just thinking about these brochures, if they end up being at each of these stops, hopefully they're going to be printed on recycled paper, and you can put some kind of signage on the paper indicating that it is that type of paper, just kind of reinforcing the green idea. And also, I was wondering if you had ever considered maybe not 20-year signs, but some type of permanent sign at each of the stops so that if you run out of the paper flyers, they're not, you know, refilled immediately on a busy weekend or something like that. If people see the trolley stop sign and they're there, there can be a permanent sign there that shows the routes and that
actually
kind of
the
thing.
Signage at the information kiosks is a permanent sign. Oh. There won't be brochures there for them to be able to take. It'll just be something there for that stop.
Oh, I misunderstood. Okay, great. And then I did have a question about the fact that there's three routes and two trolleys, and then we've got these 30-minute headways. How does that work if you've only got two trolleys? If you had three trolleys doing each of the routes, that would work, but say you were going to tell someone if you wait at the trolley stop, there'll be a trolley there within a half an hour, which wouldn't necessarily be true if the trolley's covering two different routes.
There will be three trolleys.
There will be?
We have two trolleys right now, a 1999 and a 2002, and then our 1985 trolley, which had been the backup for Route 1 and Route 2 last year. The council authorized using the 85 trolley as the third route trolley until we've procured a new one.
Okay.
The reason being that the 85 trolley is not lift equipped, so we need to get in compliance with that. And so there'll be some little logistic things if there's someone on that route that is in a wheelchair that we swap out with one of the other trolleys from one of the other routes that is lift equipped.
Okay.
So there will be three trolleys to do the three routes, and eventually the old trolley will get transitioned out once we get one some grant funding and acquire it.
And all three of those?
It's going to be out running a route. But in terms of general maintenance, we're not anticipating that there's going to be a large increase.
I guess I'd bring that up because if one trolley goes down,
I mean, how are we going to go back to serve two trolleys servicing two, three routes, or is somebody going to lose on that deal?
Well, you have two options. You either stop service and you have the driver go driving.
Got it. And it's just
taking
a longer
another
wait
vehicle,
time. Exactly.
Putting up a sign that says we're out of service, or we have one of the other trolleys take over the route, and then it just means that that wait time is a little bit longer until that vehicle is up and running again. But it's been very rare. I can't say it's never happened, but it has been very rare that we have had one of the main vehicles, main trolleys, break down during operating hours. These trolleys are going to be running Fridays through Mondays, so that leaves, you know, Tuesday through Thursday to do any sort of maintenance work if there's an issue.
No, with that smaller wait time and one more trolley, that's just, people are going to be seeing them around town. They're going to be using them more. That's going to cut down on traffic in town. It's going to be greener, all of that. So good.
Excellent. Thank you. I agree. I'm very impressed, Janine. I think you've done a wonderful job. I remember when this program first started. You've made leaps and bounds, and I congratulate you and thank you. And on behalf of the city, because really a lot of us are benefiting from all of this. And what specifically do you need from this board?
Well, all I was looking for was any comments on the routes themselves, the stops. If you think that what's been laid out is appropriate, if you had suggestions that no, this isn't. Like for Matt, who's ridden the trolley quite a bit. Maybe he sees that nobody really rides or gets off at this stop, and there may be another location that would be more appropriate. That's really the kind of the input I'm looking for that would be forwarded on to the council.
Well, I'm fine with what you've presented personally. I think it's excellent. I think it's a good starting point. I think what we need to do is let these three trolleys function for a few weeks or a few months or whatever. And I think then you will be able to make some adjustments along the way. I would gather it's a flexible program you've got here. It's not rigid. I mean, if a stop doesn't have enough people to make it worth it, you'll continue and go.
I don't know if you remember the first five or six years of the one trolley when it started out. Every year at the end of the season, it was a little tinker here and a little tinker there to try to get it exactly to be the most efficient that it could be in terms of picking up people at the stops and getting ridership. So we may see the same sort of thing with this, although a lot of the stops that are already here are pretty established. There's just a few little adjustments here and there and a few little additions to serve areas that hadn't been served before. So probably what we would do is we would go through the whole season with this route and then at the end do an evaluation and talking with the trolley drivers and seeing, did this work, did this not, did you get comments from people about not getting picked up here or being dropped off there, that kind of thing. And then at the end of the season, maybe looking at making any adjustments that we might need to make.
Okay, well, I think you have a consensus from this board that we're all satisfied with the stops that you currently have. They're pretty well established. They seem to be working. And with the flexibility to make changes or tinker, as you say, down the road. Do you need a motion, or do you just want to accept our blessings and go forth?
No, we'll just take the comments that you've made throughout
the
evening.
Okay. You've got them.
Thank you very much.
And I thank you very much, Janine. Excellent. My gosh, we're winding down. I can't believe it. Rob, was there something else that you... Urban Water Management Plan. It's 8:20. Do we have time?
We were going to be discussing that with the Cleath and Associates, the nitrate analysis report, which looks like it's coming to us next month.
That it looks like that. I believe that is what Bill is still planning on doing. And the those two items were basically at the last meeting. We're asked to remain on the agenda for the future, so not knowing, you know, the chair, Barry, asked those two items to remain on the agenda. So it's to the your pleasure to whether or not to have any discussion on those, continue those items till next meeting.
How does the board feel about this? The urban under work plan, I would just assume keep it simple and make note of what we're going to have next and what we want to have down the road and just keep them on the list.
As part of future agenda items,
yes,
or that discussion?
Future agenda items.
Yes, that sounds good.
I agree.
Okay.
But I want to make sure.
Yes.
I want to make sure you don't drop the one thing that I was responsible for this meeting, which was making sure Morro Bay Beautiful came and did a presentation, because I did contact Morro Bay Beautiful, and they are prepared to do a presentation next month.
Is that on the agenda for next month?
Well, we'll need to put it on the agenda.
Well, then let's do that. Can we do that as a board?
I'm bringing it up.
Thank you, Jane. Why don't we add...
That would be your next item, the future agenda items?
Oh, very good. We're there?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's, for the next meeting, if the board will permit, Rob, make note that Morro Bay Beautiful will be making a presentation on... the necessity of Morro Bay Beautiful, and we're looking forward to this. I remember when Jane suggested it, and we've never had Morro Bay Beautiful make a presentation to anybody before, and I think this might be a good opportunity to find out what they do, why they do it, and how well they do it. And as a member of Morro Bay Beautiful, I'm looking forward to it. Second thing, Matt, do you have anything you want to add to future agenda? June? Noah?
I'd like to work with you, Rob, on any update from the Morro Bay Bike Committee from their upcoming unmet needs hearing with the council next week. And it seemed like there was room on the council to I could staff that and invite them to give a brief presentation on developments from that. But I could contact you later in the month if it seems like you had a better idea about it.
Okay.
Timing.
And Janine reminded me that unmet needs information was forwarded on to SLOCOG for their review.
So, Rob, like me to... Shall I go ahead and contact you
yes,
a little later
yes.
in the month?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to have a Morro Valley nitrate and an urban forestry. Morro Bay Beautiful. And what about a discussion, Janine, on... satellite dish. Would that be too much? That'd be too much for the March meeting.
Well, what
you know, getting Channel 20 on satellite.
Well, what you would need to do as a board, you would put it on your agenda, no staff-generated mm-hmm. stuff, but you as a board would make a determination on whether you wanted to forward a request to the City Council to have staff look into or pursue whatever the board decides the focal issue is for that.
Well, let me ask. I got to start thinking like a chair. What staff's time involved in pursuing this? Is there a lot of staff time involved in down the road pursuing it? Is it something that is feasible that we can accomplish this year, or is it something that?
Well, that's an unknown at
that's
this
an unknown.
Point.
Okay.
And the policy is that this has to come as direction from the council mm-hmm. to actively pursue. And if the council says this is what we want staff to work on and this is where in the priority of all the other things you're doing we want to place it, then it would get stuck in the queue and start to be worked on.
Okay. Let me get some information here from the board. How do you feel about putting this on the next month or the March, April?
Yeah.
April, just for a brief discussion to see whether or not it's worth pursuing and whether or not we...
work something out.
Right. Do you think maybe, Bill, since you introduced this last meeting, you could bring just a little information on it just to, maybe you can Google something and see what you can put together. You know, keep it brief. Simple, Bill. Okay, thank you. Is the board comfortable with that? In April? Okay. No, April. So you've got a good month and a half, Bill. And if you need help, let me know. Is there anything else that the board would like to put on? That's coming up very quickly. What's happening with the Morro Bay Garbage Service Base Year Rate Adjustment Application, Janine? Is there anything that we need to be concerned about at this time?
We have not received anything from the garbage company, so staff's awaiting their submittal of the application. And at this point, I haven't heard from Tom Martin, so I don't know what his timeline is with that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Rob, you have us down for April on the Channel 20 thing?
Yes, I do. And just a reminder that Mr. Wade will be bringing back future chapters of the sewer management plan as we proceed through the year.
Okay.
You should also remember that that Mr. Nance came in today.
Everybody starts paying for three units. Whether you use three or not, you pay for three. That's your lowest. And what Jim is saying, and then it goes up. Each unit goes up. And what Jim Nance was implying was that if you don't use three units, why are you paying for two extra? And the elderly and those on a low fixed income, I think, are hurt the most with paying for three units if they only use one.
We should have a short closed session on that.
Okay.
You can have it right now, after the microphones are off, if you want, because it's something that everybody should know here.
Okay. Well, why don't we combine it all into a discussion at a would it be difficult to bring in the facts, the price breakdown that Matt was talking about?
I don't think that would be bad. We could bring in the rate structure. And include that in April's packet.
And have a discussion? Would that work?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it. I think this is precisely what we could put under the Urban Water Management Plan item. As a future component of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Okay.
So that would be for April?
April. The water rate breakdown and a discussion by the board, brief discussion for the April meeting, please.
You wanted to discuss trash rates, too.
You're treading on something that shouldn't be brought up.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Well, all right. We'll find out. We're open-minded here, Bill. Okay. Is that? Does anybody else have anything else?
Noah mentioned bike unmet needs and brought us a written correspondence.
He's coming back.
I'm planning on emailing that to the entire board from the bike committee. The written correspondence I received.
Does it need to go on the agenda at all?
I think it would, but I'll plan to work with Rob on that as we get closer and find out a little bit more what the council's direction will be from this upcoming meeting.
Okay. Are we about ready? Does that answer your question, Jane? Mm-hmm. Good. Is there anything else anybody wishes to add before we? I do want to just a brief moment. For you two especially, because you're new, the PWAB board, as you have noticed, is very loose, and we're not confined by Robert's Rules of Order, mainly because I don't know them. But we are loose, and as long as I've been on the board, my main purpose is to get information to the public. So anytime anybody has a question on a project or a subject related to infrastructure or whatever it is we deal with, ask, because even though you may think it doesn't mean much to us, the public out there, people do watch, and a lot of them get their information by watching the meetings on television. And so I think it's important to be an avenue of information. So keep that in mind as the meetings progress down the year, and I will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
My second.
And with that, we are adjourned until our next regularly scheduled meeting, which will be Wednesday, March 19th, here at the Vets Hall, 6 o'clock. One and all, please come. Thank you, and everybody have a good evening.